Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord our God, that time has come again when we are ready to receive our spiritual food from you through your word. Speak, O Lord, until the whole earth is filled with your glory. Use these weak words of ours to transform the hearts of people, to break the stony hearts and create the hearts of flesh in them that can easily be broken by your word. Lift Christ in our midst this morning. Speak to our hearts, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, Brother Emma was escorted by Sister Sabrina. Yeah, in this church, ladies don't escort men. Yeah, Sabrina is the sister to, Sabrina is sister to Brother Emma. And Emma is the father to Sabrina. Yeah, so, because Emma is the one that remained in the place of their dad, deceased father.
Yes, yes.
So don't ask yourself, how could Sabrina escort Emma? Yeah, so. The word of his grace is the title of my message this morning. Yeah, we are going to spend a few minutes talking about the word of his grace. From the book of Acts, chapter 14, from verse 1 to 7. And here I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. This is the Lord's word. And so our brothers are still continuing with their first missionary journey. If you were here last Sunday, you know where we stopped. When they were in Antioch of Pisidia, and how they shared the word of the Lord there. But again, some Gentiles accepted it, while many Jews rejected it. Allow me read these few verses from chapter 13, 48 to the end. Yeah, verse 48 says, chapter 13. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they took off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So that's how chapter 13 ended. So the Jews stood up, the other Greeks and the women, prominent women, and they brought persecution. And the leaders of the city were forced to chase the two brothers from their city. So obviously, they had to obey and left the city to Iconium. Now, in Iconium, they still continued doing what they were doing. Going to the Jews first. Even if before, in chapter 13, we had seen how they had said, it was appointed that we come to you first, and but now we are going in for the Gentiles. But still, wherever they arrived, they first went to the synagogue of the Jews. I already gave you the reason for that. Yes, but because according to the Lord's plan, they were supposed to receive it first. They were our elder brothers. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. They were welcomed well, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. Again, we are still seeing the grace of the Lord at work. Yes, now you can see that we are getting converts from both sides. The idea of God belonging to the Jewish people alone has ended. Verse 2 tells us that, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. So the unbelieving Jews, meaning that many others, Jews, as the text has shown us, also believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some people think that the Lord, the God of today, is only for the Gentiles. No. Is the God of all the nations, even the Jews inclusive. So now, these unbelieving Jews, like those in Antioch, are still doing what they do better. Poisoning the minds of the Gentiles against what our brothers were teaching. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. And so, although these guys in Iconium also started planning persecution, the two brothers didn't fear. They remained there for a long time, encouraging the brethren, explaining these truths in depth. And they were speaking these truths boldly. You don't just speak about Jesus Christ like that. Whenever you are talking about Christ, please do it boldly. And to speak boldly has been misunderstood by some of our friends, thinking that when you do it with a lot of gestures and movements and shouting and screaming, that's when you are doing it boldly. No, we have brothers like John MacArthur who speak as if they're not speaking, but power is coming out of their mouth. To speak boldly about Christ means to speak courageously, fearlessly. So now, after speaking boldly in the Lord, in other words, about the Lord, that's what you should only speak about. Don't bring in other things into this speech. You know me, and when I, it's me, I, it's not Christ. And this is where we say no to the prosperity gospel messages. Because you hear them preach for even 2 hours, but no Christ. The Christ in their messages is only there to vindicate their I and me. Yeah, it's just a machine there, a remote control that he needs to press the buttons to give him, the I and me, a house and car and all these other stuff. When you follow the message of these brothers, it was Christ and Christ alone. And this Christ they were lifting, the remaining part of verse 3 informs us that he was bearing witness to the word of his grace by granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So in this part we are learning two things. One, that what Paul and Barnabas were teaching was the word of his grace. What does that mean? It simply means the gospel. Yeah, the gospel at large talks about the graces of God. It talks about the mercies of God. I'll come to that. So now, because they were talking about him and him alone, he was pleased. And he had to come to seal, to stamp those words that they are genuinely coming from him. And he did that by putting signs and wonders into the hands of these two brothers. They performed miracles by healing the sick, chasing out demons. And some people say, yes, Pastor Bill, continue talking about those things. Because you are the very people who speak against miracle signs and wonders. Christ, to prove that the message from these two gentlemen, I like it, it's from me, if escorted the message with miracle signs and wonders, then why don't you have them at Reconciliation Baptist Church? Yet we see it even in scripture. I think even if I jump to this part is okay, because brothers already preached my sermon unknowingly. That's how God does things. Even Pastor Conrad Bell, years ago, he was seated there, and the one who came to preach before him, they come from totally two different continents, but that guy preached his sermon. What's the place of miracle signs and wonders vis-a-vis the vindication of God's word or ministry? And I heard some of you are answering the questions and answered them well. Yeah, one said that, you know, that was the church was, the foundation of the church was being built. The Lord was bringing something totally new. People didn't know about Jesus Christ. Yeah, so he had to accompany them with signs and wonders. Because some people could wonder and say, what's this? And would want to be eager to know more. But you and me today, 2,000 years down the road, people know about Christ. You are here rejecting him every day, but you know about him. You know that he's the king. He's the judge. He's the Messiah. You simply reject him willingly, but you know him. We don't need signs and wonders now. This is not the era of those. This is the era of the gospel. The question I can ask here is, I'm asking it on your behalf. Now, if miracle signs and wonders, the Lord brought it to vindicate their ministry, and now we no longer need those miracles and wonders, what now can God do today to vindicate his servants' ministries? Very simple. Fruits. You don't need anything else. That's why missionaries many years ago could even shed tears when they spend in a mission field 6 months, 1 year without seeing a fruit. Serve your Lord, and he will vindicate your ministry to him by saving souls. What does it mean if you are performing miracles and your church is packed and every single month you are having like 70 pregnancies inside church? Yeah, getting pregnant is not bad, let me correct. Getting, which word should I use, illegal or which words there can you, so, but you understand what I'm saying. Among people who are not married, among brothers and sisters who are supposed to call each other brother and sister, where do you get the courage of seducing your sister? And you don't have any plan to marry them. And that's why we cry to you daily. Let the world see Christ in you. Don't just be coming to RBC from January to December. And you still give room to even one Ugandan to see some signs of the world in you. Please don't. Reason why some of us have forsaken things that were dear to us. Even the way I handle now social media has totally changed. Because it was giving room to a few people, at least one or two, to say, this one should also be worldly like me. And Paul says, even if eating meat to me is not bad, I'll forsake it, I'll abandon it for the sake of those who are young. Yeah, so the Lord up to these days is vindicating his servant's ministry by serving churches. I mean, souls. By not allowing you to be among the fights of churches in Kampala. You know how churches fight between each other? How ministers, just pastors, fight against each other. Bill and David don't cope at all. Why is he trying to raise his head? He wants to suppress. And why is this Bill wants just to be there? I want to raise my head by force. But it's a miracle. We are one here. Me and my brother. Those are signs that God is really vindicating our ministry to him. Peace. All those fruit. Okay, it's only one. All that fruit of the Spirit. Love. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. So what are you seeing here? That you have both Greeks and Gentiles among the believers, those who are accepting their message, but also both Greeks and Jews and Gentiles among those who are denying and even planning persecution. The Jews were the people that everyone believed that they belong to God. Just as a few people might believe that you Reformed guys belong to God because you are searching scriptures daily. How come God's people are among those, but they are even the ones who are spearheading the persecution of those who are preaching the gospel? And here they are planning violence with their rulers. They want to abuse and stone them. They became aware. The Bible does not tell us how. And they plan to escape for their lives. So you are saying that, but by the way, they have not suffered yet. Their message is only still being resisted. This brother suffered a lot, so that this word you are hearing today could reach you. Yeah, so he was not fearful at all. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. Whenever he told him, remain here, he could remain there even in the midst of persecution. If he told him, no, leave, he lived. So here he had to escape. They had to escape for their lives. And they went to those other cities. knowing that it is preaching about the word of his grace that was causing them trouble. Maybe you and me could say, now I've escaped from massacre in Kampala, let me keep quiet because they can follow me here. But they didn't. We saw it even with other disciples before. When they ask you to stop talking in that name, that's when you talk about it more. Wherever they went, they started from where they had stopped, or they started afresh if people had not heard them. To speak about the word of his grace. And this is where I want to rotate until I end this message. When you go and scrutinize the what they were talking about or teaching, we went through his sermon. It was Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. That's what he's calling the word of his grace. And this word we preach to you every Sunday here. The word of his grace. It includes the love of God. When God said, when God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It talks about sin, how you and me fell in sin in the Garden of Eden by disobeying the order of God. And how God said, far from me, chased us before his presence. But how come are we called again his children today? His great love. We did not look for him. Not Adam, not Eve. Instead, we started trying to get our own means of, covering our shame. And he came. I'm now trying to expound the word of his grace to you. And he came without their invitation, slaughtered an animal, the image or picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, skinned it and covered their nakedness with the skin of that animal. And Jesus Christ came literally. That very animal whose skin was used to cover our shame in the garden. He came literally. And he lived as a nobody. It's a shame that the preachers of the gospel, the pastors today, want to live like somebodies. You want to be recognized. The creator of everything came and lived like a nobody, treading the ground he had created, interacting with the people he had created. But who could tell that this was the creator himself? Even his own people did not recognize him. Up to these days, many Jews still say our Messiah is coming. You could not tell. He did not own even an inch of a plot. But we are praying like we hear our friends in those other denominations that no, if you don't have a plot of land, then you are not yet born again. Because you are a prince. You don't need to be poor. What about Jesus? What did he own? And he told them, you have where to lay your heads. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He used to sleep from different houses of his disciples. What a lesson can we learn from there? But he came, lived that such a life looking for you and me. That's the word of his grace. He was arrested. Persecuted. He did not defend himself. The way you and me always defend ourselves. No, that's a lie. My brother Marvin is my witness. He was there seeing. I didn't do that. He was quiet. Did you do that? Are you truly the king of the Jews? Keeps quiet. If you insist, you've said so. He was beaten. Terribly. Put on the cross. Naked. People saw his nakedness. He endured all that because of you. And our God raised him for us. So, these are the words of his grace. He was doing all that, showing you mercy and grace. And we always tell you the difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not you not receiving what you deserve. We all deserve hell. But we are not, some of us are not going to hell. That's mercy. While grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's grace. That's heaven now. Because he would have stopped taking us to hell, but he leaves us here on earth. That would be only, we would have received only mercy from him. But he said, you are no longer going to hell. You can't remain here. I'm going with you into glory. That's grace. All this put together, anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, his meekness, this is what we call the word of his grace. And these are the words that we share with you every time. But you know what made me tremble even this morning behind there? Is to see how those who knew themselves as his people, the Jews, were rejecting the word of his grace. It made me tremble. And especially as we were singing these hymns. I don't know whether you sing them with your heart. Or you just want to continue singing them with your lips. You enjoy the nice melodies. And that nice guitar behind there. My friend, do you ponder upon the hymns we sing? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. People are crying these words every day in the world. Hear my humble cry. While on others you are calling, please do not pass me by. Many are getting saved. But you are there. Even though you come to church every Sunday, you don't mind crying to him and say, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Let me at your throne of mercy find a sweet relief. I'm kneeling there in deep contrition, deep sorrow. I always tell you, I've never seen anyone come to the cross teeth out since I was born. I've never seen. It's only when we were pretending for the sake of girls to go and repeat those prayers, when we could pretend going towards the cross laughing. Could stand there with friends. They tell us, close your eyes, hands are up. We first close them. Then when he starts praying, you open them and start looking at your friend and you laugh. Since you said you came from the world to Christ, unto Christ, you've never shed even a tear. What makes people shed tears, you know it? It's when the Spirit of Christ is flashing back into your life and shows you how you used to live. And it shows you on another page the glory of Christ. Then say, no, this can't be me. I did not live that life. I did. Trusting only in your merit, not mine. I would seek your face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Do you hear again? This spirit is already broken. It was already wounded. My brother, my sister, your spirit is wounded, is broken. Call him to come and heal it. You are the spring of all my comfort. More than life to me. More than my husband and wife. More than my children. More than my job. More than my own life, because I can give it for you the way you gave yours for me. But you still find pleasure in the things of the world. My brother, my sister. While on others you are calling. Do not pass by, my children. While on others you are calling, do not pass by, my church members. He's calling many every single second, preparing them for glory. But you still find pleasure in the world. I did as well. The music you are enjoying, I enjoy them more than you. And I was telling someone just a few days ago, how can the music you listen to help you? And I was trying to help this person by, to explain about the three types of food. Healthy food, junk food, and nutritious, poisonous food. Three kinds of food. I'll not stop telling this to you. Perish on your own. Healthy food is that type of food that you eat and it builds your body. It has calcium, vitamin, whatever, C, D, call them. You need to eat that one. Junk food is that type of food that cannot kill it, has no poison in it, but it has also nothing to build your body. You just eat and you are satisfied. Okay, it can be delicious. You like macaroni and pizza. As many pizza, as pizza. Yeah, so junk food. Junk food. Not helpful. You enjoy it because it's delicious, yes. Yeah, but it cannot bring poison into your body. It cannot bring sicknesses. Poisonous food, you eat it, you start diarrhea, vomiting. The same applies to all the things you love of the world, my friends. The music you enjoy, they're in these three types. Some have good messages, like these we sang in this church today. And others by our brothers, the Gates, the Keith there in the U.S. Good music. You listen to the message, it builds you, it builds your inner man. Okay, there are some songs that are just there. Even worldly music, I find you listen to it, I cannot blame you. Me personally. And who told you that you need to listen to only gospels? Not Bill. That's not me. It's not me. Yeah, I speak out my mind. You're listening to secular music. She go and repent. No, who told you? Who told you, my friend? There are some secular music that's not religious, but with some message. With message. The Ugandans who are here, you know, the Afriko bands. They sang about speed ya kabinyo. Yeah, when you overspeed, you are putting your life into danger. You find Bill listening to us, say, hey, Pastor Mulamba, the old pastor. Yeah, some Christians are like that, you know, too radical, you know. Too pharisaic. Listen only to gospel. Yeah, so but that speed ya kabinyo. Yeah, that's... Don't overspeed while driving. It's part of junk food. It cannot poison my inner man in any way. But it can't help me either. Yeah, so we can say, no, Pastor, it can help you because it will help you reduce the speed. No, it cannot help me reduce speed. So that's why I call it junk food. It's just there. It cannot ruin you, can harm you, cannot help you. But now the third type of music you listen to, and that's what you enjoy more. Poisonous. Touch me here. Come here. Come closer. And you come to RBC every Sunday. My brother, my sister. So you know why I'm bringing all these illustrations? Because I'm sorry, I'm seeing the same scenario that Paul and Barnabas were witnessing here in RBC. Check what our first reading said in Proverbs, quickly, as I end. Check what it says, Proverbs 29, as I end this message. Proverbs 29, verse 1 tells us this. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. They rebuke you, they warn you, but you harden your neck. You say, no, you will speak and speak, you'll get tired. I just love the music of Eddie Kenzo. Whichever they are, I just enjoy them. The Bible is warning here that you'll suddenly be destroyed, and that will be without remedy. Verse 23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Listen to the words of God. Close your eyes and leave the world with all its pleasures. Leave it alone. It's not sweet at all. No one should deceive you. The world is never sweet. Why don't you learn lessons that the Lord is bringing away every day? I saw Brother Emma post on Facebook that, look at this, my colleagues, many blah, 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 died. Yeah, I told my wife, yeah, Emma does not know him simply because they were all at Makere. That's why he calls him colleague. I know a young James. I taught him. I was his teacher at Emma High School. Apart from that, I was the patron of Youth Alive Club. He was the president. We went many places with him leading these young people. I saw him in how he was prominent in this land, being used on billboards, Mr. Supu. How can you graduate today with such a good bachelor's degree and you don't enjoy not even a coin from it? You put on the gown today and tomorrow you are dead? Because as part of MI school in the past, we started asking how he died. He graduated on Wednesday. His neighbors last saw him the following day, Thursday. No one saw him again. How did they know he died? Smell. He started rotting in his room. When they called the police, they found padlocks on the outside. The people who might have killed him did it and then locked from the outside so that no one could suspect. But especially what touched my mind again, those who have been with us for some time remember a name called Yanga that I always talked about. The Lord used that name to bring me closer to him. I was in first year university. He was our guild president. I was looking at him as my role model. He was too proud. He was about to graduate. And then one morning they told us that he was bathing and slept and hit the head somewhere and died. And the Spirit of Christ put a lot of unanswered questions into my small mind. Then how can you study from nursery to when you're about to start enjoying, then you leave everything? And then James came just the other week. Just try to imagine if you were the one, where do you go? You hear some people say, okay, when I'm about to die, I'll repent. Do you know how that will happen? Do you know? When you are falling on a terrible accident, how can you remember? Oh, no, let me start repenting now. No. Be ready with your Lord. The world is not sweet the way your mind is deceiving you. Amen. Father, forgive us. And help us not be among those who oppose your word. Some joined the apostles, and others joined the unbelieving Jews to oppose the word of your grace. Lord, we pray to you to have mercy upon not us. Not us. You've already had mercy upon us. But have mercy upon our parents, Lord, we plead. Have mercy upon our children, our neighbors, our friends. As you are calling others, please don't pass them by. Amen.